Ezekiel 47, if you'll look there with me. I have a really great vantage point in this church. I'm on the platform almost the entire service, every service, and I usually stand. I rarely sit down. I usually stand through an entire service, and so I've got a good vantage point. I can see what's going on. And I've kind of trained myself to not get too distracted by what's going on. But at the same time, I think it's important for me to be kind of able to kind of survey the congregation and to see what's happening, how service is going. And I have been seeing some things from this place, from this position. Maybe you have. I don't know. But in recent weeks, I have been seeing something. I'm seeing a stirring. I'm seeing people that it's obvious that they're reaching. They're longing. It's become obvious to me because as I survey, I've seen more tears lately than I have seen in a long time. I've looked across this building and I've seen people throughout the service, tears flowing down their face and some wiping their eyes, trying to control the tears. I like what I see. I like what's happening. And I know that all that's happening in the spirit is the result of people calling upon God, calling upon the Lord. That's why I just want to ask you to take this to heart. And for those, you know, we have 4, 5, 6, sometimes 8, every once in a while 10 here in the morning at prayer. I want to ask you and maybe add a little urgency to this ask. Please join with us, either here at this location or wherever you might be as you start your day at your home, in your car. Spend some time in the morning calling on God, calling on the Lord. And as we move close, we're down to the last few weeks of this year. But I've just really had the Lord speaking to me about January and what He wants us to do and how it's important. I mentioned it a few weeks back in a service where I was talking about the fact that we are to give to the Lord the first fruits of our income, our tithe. We are to give to the Lord the first part of our day to the Lord, and to give to Him the first part of our week by coming to the house of God on the Lord's day. Come to church on the Lord's day. Give Him the first part of your day. Give Him the first day of the week. And then the more I thought and meditated on this, I felt like the Lord was just impressing me that we need to, in January, we need to give the first part of the year to the Lord, to seek the Lord in a greater way. I don't know why the urgency. I know that there are people lost, and it may be that they don't have much time. It very well could be that things are wrapping up and we're going to come to the close of this age and the Lord is going to come. And I know you've heard it, and it's, you know, you've heard it all your life, like I have, that the Lord is coming. But one of these days, it's going to be a reality, and He is going to come. And we need to be prepared, and we need to be seeking the Lord with a new urgency as we move in to the new year. We may not even make it to 2019. I don't know, but I do know that this has been impressed in my mind, my spirit, that we need to make some preparation for the new year, and thank God for the beginnings of some things that He's doing. Amen. You say, I don't know why you make a big deal about that. Well, let me remind you that I stand here And I have been standing up here for a long time, a lot of years. And I've looked out at dry eyes. I've looked out at disinterested hearts. I've looked out at people that weren't moved. And that's disheartening. And right now, I'm seeing some different things happening. And I'm so grateful. Praise God. So grateful for what he's doing. And I know it's because of the prayer effort. And I thank you and I ask you to take this to heart. And let's, as a church body, let's really unite together. Let's really pray together. Because there are so many people that are lost. And God wants to bring them in just as he is. He's bringing them in. Little by little by little. And our altars, and I've prayed, I can't tell you how many prayers I've prayed. Oh Lord, help us to not have barren altars. Help us to not have altars that, well, there's nothing happening. And you're not working, and lives are not being changed in the altars. So we're seeing some change in that. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't care if 12 o'clock gets here and on Sunday morning, and that's our normal time to shift gears and everybody wants to go home and tend to their crock pot. I understand that, but let's just kind of get that out of our mind when we come to church on Sunday morning, because there very well be, maybe, some people who walk into this place that they're in a real desperate place. They really need help. And they're not going to get any help unless we're ready to help them. Pray it through and encourage them and wrap our arms around them and do whatever we can do. Be used of the Lord. And it may take us till 12:30 or 1 for that to happen. If that's that way, don't worry about it. Amen. Amen. Let's get our minds on what God wants to do. Let's read these verses. This is a vision of Ezekiel. I know that you're familiar with this vision of the river that flowed out from the throne of God. Ezekiel 47, afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. Behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, that waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and waters were to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything that shall live, whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Iglion, Engedi, even unto Energlacium. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed, for they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." Now, I've read this text a lot of different times, but I hadn't paid as much attention to the fact that wherever the river flowed, there was life, there was healing, and there was fruitfulness. Praise God. When the river flowed, it had that kind of a effect. Everywhere the river, and of course, this is a message that is a message concerning the church to be, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit poured out upon the church, and in the last days, the Spirit of God poured out upon the church. And this river that flowed out from the throne of God, that lets us know the source of this outpouring of the Spirit is from God Himself. It's the will of God. And it's His plan and His purpose. I thought about that verse in Acts 13 where it said of David that he served his own generation by the will of God. He served his own generation by the will of God. What is this generation going to be known for? I trust that you and I are known, and we've got a wonderful, rich history as far as, you know, our church. You can go back well over 100 years to the beginnings of this church and thank God for the history of the church. But right now, the history can't help us too much. Right now, the past can't really add too much to what we have or what we need. And so we have to think about David served his own generation, his own time. He did the will of God for his generation. So you and I, we need to think about the fact that right now, in this present generation, there's something that God wants us to do, something that God wants us to accomplish in this generation. And it has to do with this river of the Spirit of God flowing out of the throne and flowing out, and this gradual increase and this gradual process of moving little by little into the deeper things of God. What we've seen recent services, the Spirit of God working and moving, it's a wonderful thing, and I'm grateful for it. And it is the beginning. It's the ankle deep experience. We're just an ankle deep right now. We've stepped out, and the river has flowed out of the throne of God. And notice that it goes by the way of the altar. That was the place where sacrifices were made. That's the place where dedications were made. And so this river that flows out, it goes by, the route is by the altar. And so we as a people are called of God to go once again back to the altar, to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to commit ourselves to the Lord, so that this generation can experience what God has planned for this particular time right now. As the Holy Spirit visits us, we welcome Him. We make room for Him. We allow Him to work. That means we actually take our hand off of it and off of what's going on. It's one thing to have, obviously we know that everything needs to be done decently and in order. That's scriptural. We understand that. But I also know that whenever it is a genuine work of the Holy Spirit, it is going to be in order. It may not be man's order, but it will be in order. It will be according to God's plan. It will edify the people. It will stir the hearts of people. And it'll do what this river did. Everywhere that it went, it healed. Everywhere that it flowed, there was new life. Everywhere that it flowed, the river accomplished, it bore new fruit. Fruit that became meat. And the fruit that was like medicine and life and healing everywhere that it flowed. Praise God. So we have to relinquish our hand from it. Amen. Because we have the tendency to want to control everything that's happening in church and in church services. We have a tendency, I'm sorry, that's my inclination is to be like that. My inclination is to, I don't want anything to get too out of hand now. I want to try to keep it under control. And obviously, I know that things can get out of control, but I'm really concerned about the fact that we be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God and we allow Him to move. We allow Him to speak. We allow the river to flow. And that we're anxious for that to happen. As I said, from this vantage point, what I've been seeing in recent weeks are more tears, more responsiveness, more prayer, more people coming forward for to have their needs met, more of a working of the Holy Ghost among us. Now, the opposite of that is a church that is asleep, basically. A church that's drowsy and lethargic, and a church that has no power, but we just have our little form of what we do and our plan and how we organize it and we plan it. But the organization without life is meaningless. The plan without God in the big middle of it is really worthless. It doesn't accomplish anything. What's essential is that we allow the river to flow. And first it's ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep, loin deep, and little by little it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. If we don't get in the way, if we don't grieve the Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit and get in the way, then the river's going to flow and it's going to get deeper and deeper. I've told you this before, but I grew up in a place called Sand Springs, Oklahoma. It's called Sand Springs because the Arkansas River runs right through the center of town, right through the center of that community, the Arkansas River, and is known for sand. They suck the sand out of the bottom of that river, and it's piled up all along the side, and they sell the sand. And it just, it's a huge reservoir of sand, and they suck it out of the bottom of that river, and it's piled up, and they sell it, and concrete companies, and every possible use of sand, and they sell it right there. And I grew up crossing that river to go to school, crossing that river all the time. That was right in the big middle of our community that I grew up in. But you know, it was pretty wide. Now, when the season was dry, it would get a lot more narrow and low, but I've seen it wide. I've seen it full of water. I've seen it up to almost to the very edge of the bridge. And I've seen it out of control, almost out of the banks. A big river flowing through that community. And from there, it would go just about 6 miles downstream, and it went right through the center of Tulsa, Oklahoma, a major city. But you know that that river, as big and powerful as it has been, it flows all the way down and dumps into to the Mississippi, way down south, and then out into the Gulf. But you know where it starts? It starts way up in northern Colorado. That's where it starts. And where that river starts, it's narrow enough that you can jump across it. That's how small it is. You can just jump across. It's just a little stream. But as it progresses down through the state of Colorado and through parts of Kansas and down through northwestern Oklahoma and all the way through that area that I grew up, it's getting a little bit wider and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger until finally, way somewhere down in Mississippi or somewhere, it dumps into the Mississippi River. And you know how big that river is. And it dumps out into the Gulf. But it starts just a little bitty stream. That's the way the move of God is, according to Ezekiel 47. First, it's small, it's little, it's narrow, and it's shallow. It's only ankle deep, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning. And little by little, if we don't stop it, if we don't hinder it, if we don't quench the Spirit, if we get out of the way, I'm talking humanly, our human effort, if we get out of the way and allow God to work and to speak and to move, then we'll begin more and more to witness this river that is no longer ankle deep, but now it's
It's knee deep. And then it's to the loins and waist deep. And it eventually becomes a river that is so wide that you're engulfed in it. It's so deep that you have no more control over yourself. You are completely engulfed in it. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful picture of the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit that flows out of the throne of God by way of the altar. And then it gets bigger and bigger and deeper. And finally, it's big enough that you can't control it. And we don't need to control it. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go wild and we have wildfire. And I'm not for wildfire. I'm not for ridiculousness. I am for the move of the Spirit, the voice of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. And for the Lord having His way among us and working in our lives. And when that happens, then it's no longer dead church, drowsy church, lethargic church. It's no longer a form of religion. It's no longer organization without life. It becomes something that God is everywhere the river flows. There is healing. And everywhere that the river flows, there is life. Everywhere it flows, there is fruitfulness. And God begins to move in that kind of a way. Praise the name of the Lord. It grows in size and power. And eventually, it progresses and progresses until God is doing mighty, wonderful things. And we are just engulfed in it all and watching God move. Hallelujah. Great church down in Fort Worth, Texas, back in the 50s. That church was in revival for 7 years. Every night they had church for 7 years. Out of that revival, hundreds of preachers were called. Many missionaries were called. Supernatural things happened in that revival. Wonderful miracles and healing. 7 years they pressed into that, and God moved mightily. And that whole North Texas area was completely transformed by that revival. Great revival songs came out of that revival. Great revival worship came out of that 7 year move of God. In the 50s and early 60s, I believe that it was. God worked and moved. And I know personally of preachers myself that one of them is Brother Jonathan's, where's he at? Brother Jonathan's pastor, former pastor down in Sherman, Texas, Terry Johnson, that's been here before. He was a young kid preacher that got saved in that Fort Worth, Texas revival. And no wonder the guy has the kind of anointing that he has upon his life, the kind of powerhouse that he is for God. He was the product of the river that flowed through that church and great and mighty things. I read to you that verse there from the book of Acts 13, where it says that for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, that you and I, we need to look very seriously at these last days that we're living in right now and ask the Lord, Lord, this is a generation that is desperately in need. They're desperately hungry for God. They have such a need for spiritual reality. And I'm telling you, young people, folks, young adults, folks of all different age groups, but a lot of people that you think, they're not really all that interested in spiritual things or a move of God. You're wrong. You're wrong because there is a hunger. I'm not saying everyone, but I'm saying there's a great hunger right now in this nation. And a lot of younger people, even young adults, that they've never experienced a move of God. They've never even really witnessed a great move of God. And so there's a hunger and a desire, a longing for that. And when that river flows, it will, everywhere it flows, there is going to be life. And there's going to be healing. And there is going to be fruit. Praise God. And that's what we're praying for. And I don't believe that we should in any way let up or be hindered or discouraged by anything that might be happening. But instead, It is the will of God. David served his generation, and you and I need to serve God and do the will of God concerning this generation right now. A move of God, a revival right here. Sure, there's been revivals in London, Kentucky. This church has a history of revivals and was born out of a move of the Spirit. Thank God for all of those things. But here we are right now in the greatest vacuum, spiritual vacuum that our nation probably has ever seen. But there's a large percentage of Americans today that they don't even believe in God. Or if they do believe in God, they don't really believe that he has any real impact upon them personally. He's somewhere off far and they can't reach him. They've not sensed the presence of God, and they've gone into church after church after church longing for something real, and they walk away thirsty and hungering for reality, and they don't even understand what's going on. Their soul is dry. Their heart is longing. And when they come into this place, it is our responsibility for this generation to make sure that there is something happening here, that we have prepared a way for the Lord, that we have welcomed the Holy Spirit into this place. And we've determined we are not going to hinder it. We're not going to be a person that in any way stops or hinders the work of the Spirit of God. But we want to get right in the middle of it, hearing his voice, asking the Lord. When I come down here to this prayer meeting, I pray for most of you. Most of you, I call your name. Mentally, I think about where you sit, and I've done that for a long time. And I pray for you, and I've done that, you know, a long, long time. Right now, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, awaken us to your Spirit. Touch everyone. When I pray for you, I pray for needs that I know that you might have, but then I ask, oh God, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them up to overflowing with the power of the Spirit of God. Make them a vessel of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is answering that prayer and the prayers of many of you that are joining with us to call upon the Lord to move among us in this place. Let's believe God to cause this river to become deeper than just ankle deep, but for us to see the progression and we to see it beginning to happen even at a greater measure and a greater power and a greater outpouring of the Spirit of God as the next weeks and months come. Let's believe God that by this time next year, if Jesus tarries, it'll be obvious that something mighty is happening, that God is doing something far more than we could ever believe or dream of, that God is doing some wonderful, mighty things right here in this place. Glory be to God. The Holy Spirit must be welcomed. As is often said, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, so he's not going to come where he's not desired and not welcomed. But as we welcome him to come, and that means we get our minds off of all the distractions of our life. And we come into this place because we know we're not just here just to, for church. We're here because we're doing business for God. We're doing business. We understand the significance of every meeting and every church service and how that God could work supernaturally in a service like Sunday night, November the 18th, that God could speak here tonight. And God could touch and he could fill with the Holy Ghost and he could heal the sick and he could deliver those that are bound and captive. That God could do that tonight and change people's lives by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So let's allow him to do that. Let's allow him to move the way that he wants to move. Amen. And it's going to get deeper and deeper and stronger until finally we're not going to know what to do with it. We're going to be in rivers to swim in. An overwhelming outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. We're not here for notoriety. We're not here to say, look what God's doing at our church. Or that we're better than anybody else. We're here to serve God for our generation. So whatever he wants to do. If he wants to do it for 150 people, wonderful. Or 300, wonderful. Or 500, wonderful. Whatever he chooses to do, we just want to serve our generation according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. Amen. I want to welcome everyone around this altar, setting aside things that are on your mind, distractions that are on your mind. And would you just come and ask the Lord to pour His Spirit out upon you individually, upon your family, and upon our church in a mighty way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then join with us in a daily prayer effort. That river flows by way of the altar. Amen. Glory to God. And then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So could we call upon the Lord tonight? The altar is open for everyone that will come and call upon the Lord. Kneel at this altar. Stand at this altar. However you choose to pray in this sanctuary. You just want more of God and you know you need Him. You know you need His power. I welcome you to come. Hallelujah. Let the Lord stir our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.